get the 9 years in September. 9 years of service.
You really have been here pretty much the entire time the station's been talk then. This is the 10-year anniversary, and you're coming up on your 9-year anniversary.
Uh-huh. I was actually there the day that, you know, like kind of like when they were doing the celebration of switching over. They had like a little get-together, and I was invited, and I just kind of showed up as like a – because I was, you know, kind of a friend of a station before I actually got my foot in the door. You know, I was buddies with Mike and Fisher and a bunch of people that worked there on the station. So, you know, I was always kind of around the scene, you know, as the goat of Tampa Bay comedy. Ha, ha, ha! Sarcasm. But, yeah, you know, I was always kind of around, and I remember when it went – you know, and it was so funny because at that time, I didn't know I was going to be working there. I had kind of like a little dream of maybe that happening one day. And I had had way before that, Mike was like, hey, man, give me a demo so I can give it to the program director, who was Shark at the time. And I was always like, I'm not ready to do that. You know, I'm podcasting and all that, but I'm not good enough for real radio. And he's like, dude, I'm telling you, get me a demo so we can try to get you on late at night or something. And I'm like, no. And then, you know, a year later, there I am, baby. You know,
Ken, I remember you did I think you won the Tampa Bay's Got Talent competition that the radio station put on many years ago, where they were holding an open casting call for people who wanted to be on the radio. And I remember the final, Mo was there, and you were there, and
Steve Miller.
Yep,
Steve all of us Miller. All of us in the final five. Yeah.
Can you?
Then a couple people that really didn't belong there. Yeah.
Well, I was there. I auditioned.
I mean, in the final five. Yeah. I can't even tell you the names of the two
Some
people
chick
that were
from, in that worked at WMF. Yeah. And
And then another guy that was like an old sports guy. He's a nice guy, but. You know, not competition.
Can I ask you a question? And you might not know the answer to this, but it just popped into my head since we're talking about this. Was that competition rigged? Meaning that you were...
No. Okay. God, no. Hell no. Now, it was... when it got to the final five, it was online voting.
Okay. But were the five kind of chosen? Because I remember... I don't really remember your audition, but I remember... Okay,
No. They were chosen by a panel of radio personalities.
Okay, so you...
And it wasn't... it was Mike Calta. It was Drew Garabo. Yep. It was... I want to say... one of the old morning show. I think it was Jade from Hot at the time. And then there was a couple of writers. There was actually one of the writers was from the Tampa Bay Times, and he actually wrote up a horrible write-up on me from my stand-up about 10 years before that.
Was it?
How offensive
Eric
I was
Eddings
and everything.
Or something?
Oh, what was his name? Oh, my God.
Is it a black dude?
Yeah. Tampa Bay Times.
I think it was Eric Eddings.
I think he went on to work for NPR.
Yes.
Very good writer.
Yeah.
He just caught me on a night where I was filthy at the Improv, you know, and gave me what was supposed to be a bad review that ended up being a great review for me. It was just like, I think it was either him or it was a guy on the East Coast that referred to me as the evil child of Richard Pryor and somebody else. I was like, wow, what a great compliment, but it wasn't supposed to be a compliment.
Yeah.
Yeah, but anyway, I've grown a lot as a comic now. I'm not nearly as dirty as I used to be back in the old days. So.
Yeah, well...
Yeah, really. I mean, I can be, but I can also not be. I have many levels of me, and I know where and when to be who, you know?
Oh, I hear you. Yeah, I just... So that's interesting, because there were so many people there at that event that had no chance, including
myself. I think there was 258 entries, and we sat out... in front of the Ritz Theater in Ybor on a frigid morning. Got there at like 6 in the morning and stood in line. Mm-hmm. And it was really, really kind of, I don't know, miserable. But at the same time, exciting, because it was like, you're right. Those are every comedian, every radio personality that wasn't working. And then all these like podcasters and then people that have never even done a podcast who just thought, you know what? My friends say I would be good on the radio. Or maybe they were just big radio listeners and they just went out and took a shot. And I used to kind of make fun of them for that. But after years of doing radio, I respect it. You know what I mean? It takes a lot of balls to go out there and just take a shot. You know what I mean? So
yeah, I guess I was one of those people. I always wondered if that top five was – so it wasn't rigged, but it was definitely helped if you knew who the panel was. And
well,
the panel knew you.
Well, I don't know about if they knew you. I mean, I still had to do a good audition. You know what I mean? So did Mo. Yeah. So did Steve Miller.
Okay,
yeah.
But I don't remember Mo doing anything.
Mo did. Maybe. He went up there and he was very charismatic. It was he'll attest. It was pretty scripted. He knew what he was going to say. He had his ducks in a row. He'd been a radio professional for years before that. So he had a great audition.
I just feel like it helped that he was, you know, known in the area for a very long time with Ron and Ron.
Sure.
And then he was friends with Drew, and I think it helped to know the panel and having the panel know you. Now, I'm not saying it was, so I don't mean it's rigged in that way, but then when it got to the online voting, then it was basically just like lobbying to get yourself that
kind of, yeah. But I mean, yeah, I wouldn't, the word rigged is a kind of a negative.
It is. Yeah, it means it's fake.
It wasn't that. Just because we're known, just like Steve Miller, very well known, he'd been all over radio and comedy and all that. But I think, if anything, it just gave us more credence, you know, like they knew we had skill sets set in place already. So, you know, to them, that was probably more, more appealing and more of a draw. You know, if you're going to give somebody a shot to have a radio program, and look, they were really looking, it was a joint radio station, like a venture. It was Hot 101.5 and The Bone. And what they really wanted, they didn't want a personality for The Bone to peel the curtain back. They were really looking for a co-host for Jade on 101.5 because they brought us in after I won the contest. Mo got second. It was a real tight competition. I beat him by a couple of percentage points, and it worked out the same because we both ended up on the station, but I started, you know, 2 or 3 months before him, and then he got in later. But they wanted a co-host for Jade. So after we won the contest, we all got the top 10 got callbacks to come in and do a sit down with Jade and just do like, you know, a mock little conversation, like a little radio thing for, you know, 20 minutes apiece. And I guess none of us really panned out. None of us tested well, but I was already doing my weekend show at The Bone at that time. Mo, I think, was just about to start. So it ended up nobody got that job. And then Jade eventually left a little while after that. But, they ended up saying, you know what? Johnny's better for The Bone. Mo's better for The Bone. And that's where we ended up.
Right, right. Well, that's cool. I just remember that being such a... I was so excited for that competition, and me and my roommate auditioned, and I remember we got there super early, and we drank the night before, because of course
we did. Yeah.
And we showed up kind of still drunk, and we got in line, what we thought was the line.
Yeah.
And we were right up front, and then they go, no, actually the lineup's on the other side.
Oh!
So we went from being in the front to being all the way in the back. And so we were like number 230, and I was just like, oh, my God. And I remember my roommate being like, I have to go lay down. I can't be here for 6 hours. So finally we got up there, and I remember it was some dude who was, you know, you're kind of out of it when you're hungover like that, and you're not paying attention. And he's talking to me, and he's going, yeah, I have a pretty lucrative drywall business. So if I get the contract, I don't even think I could take it, to tell you the truth. And I'm just like, shut up.
Just why
leave
here.
Me alone? And he went up and ate doo-doo, of course he did.
Uh-huh.
And then we went up there, and we just trashed everybody. Adam Howell and I just
That's what I did.
Yeah. Well, that's what we were like, this, and I was making fun of that guy with the, I can't remember exactly. It was kind of one of those, like, oh, my God, I blacked out moments. Like old school when Will Ferrell went up there and blacked out. It was kind of one of those things. And I remember Mike being like, oh, you guys do comedy in St. Paul, huh? I was so done. All my energy, my mental energy was just gone. And then we just left, and we were like, I don't think we won. But yeah, that was such a catastrophe. But good times, fun times.
The annoying person in line with me, actually, I should give this guy, and I don't remember his name, I should give him credit, because he actually fueled my audition, which ended up getting me into the finals, because I was really pissed off. Like, it wasn't a joke. This guy talked my ear off. He was with a couple other people, and he was doing this like fake radio voice the whole time he was talking to me. And he had a podcast, and he wanted me to know, and he wanted me to know all the things. Like, he was throwing lines out at me, like what he was gonna do when he got up there. And he was just like, "Hey, just so you know, I have a lot of experience." And I went, "Oh, god damn, dude." And by the way, I was also hungover. I had a gig the night before in Punta Gorda and got a little lit. And I wasn't drunk, but I was hungover. And I was not ready to be really dealing with people. And I didn't even know what I was going to do. I didn't have a prepared thing.
I
was told that you were just going to interact as if it were like a radio show.
Yeah, right.
So I was ready to interact and bounce off of Drew and Mike and Fisher and whoever else was on the panel, you know? And Eric Duggins, that was his name, right?
Eric Diggins, yeah, something like that.
Yeah. Anyway, so I was just ready to bounce off those guys, right? So this guy, the whole time, for like 2.5-3 hours, he's like, "You know what I think I'm going to tell him, Johnny?" And I'm like, after a while, I just go, "Hey, dude, just, you got to stop." You're like, "Stop what?" Talking to me. Like, "Stop this, please.
Leave me alone." Yeah.
"Please, I said, I need to concentrate. I'm really thinking about my audition, so I just need to have some alone time," which I did. I wasn't thinking about the audition. I was just, I wanted to be alone. Leave me alone. And or just, if I knew you, that's fine. Like, I hung out with a lot of comics. I saw Lawsmith there, Tony God there. I saw a bunch of comics there trying out, you know? And I was like, okay, these are my friends. I'll hang out with them a little bit, you know? And when this guy kept going. So when they brought me in onto the stage for the audition, I was so mad. And I was really mad because they had the Horn Blasters train horn on stage, remember? And what they were supposed to do was horn blast you if you sucked for like more than the first 10, 15 seconds, kind of like the gong show. And Drew had control of the horn blaster. And he did it a few times, but he was so nice. He let a lot of people talk for 2 minutes when they suck so bad. And I'm like number 187. And I just wanted to get up there and get it over with. So I was so upset at this guy next to me. I got on stage and I just started going. I go, "Why? Why are you letting these landscapers and these goddamn idiots talk for so long? Drew, why?" And I just like went on a rant, and it was real. And then afterwards, I was like, in my head, I go, "I just effed that up so bad. I look like a dick. I just screwed up my opportunity to have a radio program." And I walk off the stage, and Mike Olivero's there. And I never met Mike Olivero, really. I mean, not like really, really. I've seen him. We've been in the same room for different events, Calta's birthday, stuff like that. And he walks up to me, let me go back. Let me walk it back a couple steps. I'd already pissed Mike Olivero off before I went on stage. Because they had me written down as John Bell. And I go, "Hey, can you put Johnny B on the thing when they call me to the stage?" And he's just like, "Ugh, yeah." And I'm like, "Oh, God, now I just pissed off the head of promotions, you know?" So I come off stage after I cuss everybody out. And Olivero's there. And he goes, "Hey, great job." And I went, "What?" Like, I was still mad. He goes, "If you don't win this thing, call me and I'll get you a job on the radio." And I said, "Wow, I feel like I won no matter what." And he goes, "You kind of did." That was what he said to me. So then I walk off down the stairs, and it was the first time I ever met TM Powell. He was doing post audition interviews. He was still working for TV and stuff back then. And I'd seen him on TV. I knew who he was. And he walks up and he goes, "Yeah, you get over here. You're getting on my interview couch. Great audition." And I'm like, "What? What did they see?" You know what I mean? Because I thought I was just a mean asshole that was upset, and they loved it. So, you know, that's how we got in the top five. But everybody knew it was going to be me, Mo, or Steve Miller. Everybody knew it, and it was tight the whole way. Steve was right there with us. It was within a few